President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 24th on the West Coast and November the 25th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network as well around the world, and want to wish everyone who is now into the 25th a very happy Thanksgiving, whatever that means. What does Thanksgiving mean to you? We may talk about that for a little bit tonight, and as well as listen to a little bit more music. I've gotten some positive feedback on, no pun intended, on the songs that I've been playing. People are describing a sense of peace and a sense of empowerment and a release of fear, which is what it's all about. And when I contemplate Thanksgiving, you know, I'm grateful for my family, my friends, all the people around the world who are networking and bringing the truth to each other. And I celebrate that. And I think it's good to remind ourselves how important it is to take action, to make some choices and influence the all of the universe, because we do it anyway. So we should do it intentionally with a positive attitude about changing things for the better instead of wallowing in all the pain and misery and suffering that this planet has experienced over the past, in recent history, 13,000 years or so. And I'm going to share something in a song before we bring on tonight's guest. This comes from Tower of Power. Think about it, because it all comes back.
Come back. So many people, so many pride.
it all comes back, doesn't it? Well, think about that, folks. I appreciate all the feedback we've gotten over the past few months. And to a great extent, all the exposure that the show gets is due to tonight's guest. He hosts his own website, educate-yourself.org. He's a journalist himself, a metaphysical scientist, and quite a good friend. He's been on over 90 shows over the past couple of years, and I'm honored to have him on again tonight, especially with Thanksgiving right around the corner for many. Tonight, I want to welcome my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you very much. Glad to be on with you again.
Well, you can tell Skype is sounding a little bit better these days, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah, we're appreciative of their increasing the bandwidth and the sample rate of the program, because it allows us to listen to music and hear stuff as if we were there. You know, it's
yes.
Really a miracle, all the good technology there is out there. You and I have talked about many, many different topics on all the shows that we've done. Chemtrails, tasing, the corruption in the government, the infiltrators into the government, the treason that's being committed, all the things that are being done to dwindle down the numbers of humanity, intentionally done. And we seem to be going through another series of false flag events around the world while the corruption continues on. And we do our best to bring solutions to people, and I think you can't ignore what's going on, and you have to bring forth the details that prove that we know what's going on. And we're also affecting change on that, and that's got the powers that be riled up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would say that it's a mixed bag. Certainly the people who are behind the New World Order, collectively, I've been using the word Illuminati for 13 or 14 years. Well, we can just call it the New World Order gang. They are spiritually devolved beings. They essentially are servants of the dark side, Satan, Lucifer. They're dedicated to this whole expression, taking the grabbing of power, lording it over others for in the interest of personal gain, maximizing their let's say gratification, if you will, of that comes from money, that comes from sex, that comes from subjugating others over others. This is what motivates them. This is to them what life is all about. And people or entities, perhaps is a better word, who are
okay, Ken,
are very low on,
I'm getting
the ladder.
I'm getting a breaked up signal, broken up signal, breaked up.
Okay.
Listen to my talk radio.
let me cut down another program so I don't have anything open but Skype, and hopefully that will fix it for us. I think that will do it. I'm just closing the last thing out right now. Okay. So anyway,
just kidding. I lost you again.
Okay, that's been or
now
what you
Ken,
know,
Ken, this isn't working. I'm not hearing you, and I don't think the listening audience is either.
Okay, hold on. Let's see. Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. For a moment I could. Now you seem to.
All right, hello, I can. Okay. What I could do is, if it's necessary, I could reboot like we had to do last time, unfortunately, but I...
Okay, I'm hearing that the sound is better, I guess, in the studio, so you have to bear with me, because when you're breaking up, I can't tell what you're saying.
Okay, just ask me to repeat.
Okay.
Whatever you don't hear.
Okay.
So I'm just completing the point about the spiritual level of the New World Order gang. Their whole motivation in life is geared towards lust, and the gathering of power, personal power, in order to, you know, exercise that power over others, to, become wealthy, to groove on the power trip of being a, you know, a politically well-connected, powerful individual who's got lots of wealth and you can push a lot of people around. That's what they do. That's what they groove on. And they're in competition with each other to see who can gain a greater advantage over one faction of the Illuminati versus another. So you have, certain groups. You have the, let's call it the neo-Nazi or the Nazi element of the Illuminati, which is representative by the George Bush family. And they are in, let's say, competition with other Illuminati types who are perhaps of a different political party or perhaps on the other side of the world. And they're essentially jockeying for position all the time. So within a certain framework of acceptable conduct, they will criticize each other. They will attack the presidency of the left arm of the Illuminati over the right. Betray each other too far in terms of revealing things to the public that would, let's say, announce the fact that they are a member of this elite cabal. So we recently have some, let's say, recent events that have ratcheted up the level of tyranny in this country that we are experiencing due to the desire of this New World Order elite group to completely control all of humanity. And specifically what I'm referring to is that we've had a lot of news items in the last week or two about the conduct of the TSA at airports in this country. And I raised this issue with you a day or two ago on the phone. And I said I just wanted to talk a little bit about what we're seeing in the news is we're experiencing what the Illuminati always does. When they want to increase their control, they present a problem to the public. And then the public reacts to that problem with fear, with irritation, with annoyance. It's an emotional reaction. And then through a series of planned events, the government provides, quote, a solution that will subside the fear or subside the resentment or anger, et cetera.
Well, it's never a solution, is it?
No, it's what...
It's just a smokescreen.
But as a solution, it's not a true solution. It's the desired goal of these Machiavellian planners from the beginning. But they're always following the same strategy. Nothing changes. It's the same strategy for... At least from the civil strategy. So people who are paying attention should know that all major wars, from including the Civil War, but I mean we saw a clear example of intentional false flag crisis operation with the Spanish-American War, 1898. There was a ship intentionally sabotaged in Havana. It was obviously done by agents for the United States, and they blamed it on Spain, and they used that as a pretext to clear control of Cuba and the Philippines.
I think I got most of what you said. You said they used that as a pretext to take control of Cuba and the Philippines?
Yeah. They launched the Spanish-American War in 1898. The sinking of the battleship Maine in Havana Harbor was the false flag operation that was used as the pretext. The Hearst newspapers were running dire stories about the these rotten Spaniards who sabotaged, torpedoed America. We attack Cuba and we take over Cuba and Philippines from Spain, who was controlling those countries at the time. We know the story of World War One. Essentially, the whole thing was a setup in order to once again pull the U.S. into the war, set up, you know, orchestrated principally by Britain, but it resulted in pulling America into the war. And we pay the price, the average people pay the price for these operations, these false flags. The of course, Hitler, in the World War II, it was the sinking of the passenger steamliner ship, the Lufthansa, the Lusitania.
Yeah.
That was blamed on German subs, but it was really set up by the British. So, and they, of course, they picked a ship that had munitions on it, et cetera, so there'd be dramatic explosions. It was a setup. And we know that Hitler SS, and they blame this mentally retarded man for the incident, but that incident was used as a pretext to pass the enabling law, which made Hitler dictator of Germany, and that eliminated the parliament, eliminated the democratic functioning of the Weimar Republic.
Well, they're certainly pushing for something that mirrors that here.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm. Yeah. I'm simply reviewing this because we're the people, the ordinary people, are victims of government shenanigans, and the shenanigans are being orchestrated by these individuals who we call our, you know, our leaders, and the majority of them are following a script designed to break this country and to lead to a one-world government. And the TSA's conduct is the latest plan to get people so upset that some other solution will be offered so that people can get on a plane. And my guess is, I'm just guessing at this point, but it'll probably require perhaps iris scanning, you know, photometrics scanning as a way to get yourself cleared so you can get a special smart card and get on the plane without going through the pat-downs and all that. Of course, they know that people are going to get upset by the pat-downs and by the x-ray machines, etc. It's not news to them that this reaction would occur. They know it. They plan on it. And we'll see, we'll be offered the solution in the coming weeks and months as the TSA is sued in court, et cetera. There's a chance, of course, we'll see a retreat. But my guess is the compromise is going to be they'll say, well, listen, if you get pre-approved by us, you know, iris scans, fingerprints, DNA samples, whatever the, you know, the deal is, then we'll let you get on the plane. And that's, of course, we'll discover was the plan all along, problem, reaction, solution.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, we have to remember, the TSA is a product of Homeland Security, which grew out of the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was created because of the false flag on 9/11. We have to remember this. We shouldn't accept the Patriot Act. We shouldn't accept Homeland Security. We shouldn't accept TSA. These are all organizations that were created out of fraud, out of deceit, and out of high treason. There's no other way to describe it. So that when we talk about how to conduct ourselves, how to handle ourselves, this is always should be kept in mind. The TSA is part of this power structure designed to destroy the country. Just like the FEMA is an organization that's part of a structure designed to destroy our own people and our own country. And the corruption is throughout the government. What branch of government is not in control of this cabal? Kennedy assassination anniversary, just a couple days that occurred in November.
You're cutting out again, Kennedy.
Well,
I can't make out what you're saying. You started
talking about now I'm referring to the Kennedy assassination. And I said a coup d'etat took place on November 22, 1963. And the coup d'etat has been covered up and obfuscated by these treasonous individuals who are in control of all sectors of the government. In control, no, not, it's not like everyone working for the FBI is a New World Order sellout. I didn't say that. But the controlling, the top guys who are running the show are. And I could go through all the intelligence agencies, the NSA, the CIA, and, of course, Congress, the executive branch. These people have, as a majority, have betrayed us and continue to betray us. We need to keep it in mind, conduct ourselves in how to try to get to a place where we can reestablish the, let's say, the legitimacy of those who are in charge of the government. And the only avenue we have to us is the election box. However, when we come to an election, the issues are rarely or almost never mentioned, the issues of the betrayal and the treason that I'm alluding to. When Kennedy was assassinated, you had the architects of the assassination. With military elements and using various agents of the government, CIA, you had a mafia element that played a role, you know, Jack Ruby types. And you had people who assisted in the cover-up, FBI, for example. And you had people like Johnson who were, you know, part of the plotters. So we need to know who's working for us and who's not. And we need to keep it in mind because the elections are the only way we're dedicated to stopping the New World.
Okay, Ken, you're breaking up. You're breaking up again. You said you started saying elections, and then you're
okay. You're, the last election, we had at least a little bit of, let's say, breathing space by at least some of the worst Democrats being defeated, and at least a replacement with, let's say, new legislators who, at least, it takes a little bit of time for them to, let's say, completely sell out if they're going to sell out. So we bought a little bit of time. I hope that enough people will wake up by the 2012 election so that we can try to, you know, eliminate from Congress many of the people who are selling us out. And that's only going to happen when people campaign against the New World Order, campaign against the treason and the betrayal. These things never come up in elections. Like chemtrails, it's as if they don't exist. But yet these are the worst things happening to us as a nation. You know, they're going to lead to our demise unless we stop them. And if we can't even publicly talk about them over such long periods of time, how many people on AM talk radio admit 9/11 was an inside job? I haven't found one radio station host that does. A couple FM stations at 3 o'clock in the morning, you might hear that. You might hear it on Coast to Coast, let's say late at night, talk about 9/11 inside job, but not during daytime radio. It is so obvious it was an inside job. Any intelligent person who looks at the data can see that.
Well, you've got a totally brainwashed public listening to mainstream radio, so that's the crowd they have. That's the crowd they've cultivated. Not to change the subject, this kind of ties in with what we're starting to experience with law enforcement agencies in traffic stops or, you know, I mean, they make TV shows of this stuff now and have been for many years, sort of glorifying catching the bad guy, roughing him up, beating him up. It's okay because he did something wrong. And then you've got rioting going on in foreign countries now. In England, you're in touch with people on a pretty regular basis over in the UK. Are you hearing anything about the rioting? I'm getting reports that there are hundreds of thousands of students rioting, that 8 different locations in London are on fire. And this is all over the raising of the fees to attend college.
Well, I do know a number of people in the UK, and I haven't talked to them, you know, of late about this. I read a few articles on rents. However, I could see that there was a rising wave of discontent. And I'm gratified to hear only that the British tend to be very passive when it comes to the New World Order games. The French, as you know, a few weeks ago were much more vigorous in expressing their displeasure about changing the age of retirement. And within limits, of course, I'm not in favor of revolutionary conduct, you know, in which you start getting bloody about. But within reason, large-scale street commotions do rattle these people. If the commotion happens long enough, it can have the desired effect. So I'm glad to hear that the British are responding, because we are being pushed to the brink. That's pretty clear, even with the TSA abuses. I think people who plan these things do so in the thought that by taking 2 steps forwards and they back off by 1 step, that somehow this still advances their agenda. So I think that's part of it. They push and push and push until there's a large response. Then they back down and people say they breathe a sigh of relief. And, but in fact, the chain, the net has been pulled ever so much tighter. And, you have to recognize there's a chain there. You have to recognize there's a net being pulled. And not enough people do. And it's the responsibility of those of us who are aware of this to enlighten those who don't know this. Enough people know it and act accordingly. The New World Order must collapse. It will collapse. I'm certain of it. But that means we can't acquiesce to increasing incidents of life. We must respond, but in an intelligent way. And
okay, Ken, I lost you again. You're breaking up. Didn't get the last two sentences.
In the case of you and I, the way we are contributing is by writing articles. It's through education, enlightenment of the facts that a larger percentage of people will recognize the New World Order takeover game and act accordingly. What I mean by that is plot out your life and your strategies of day-to-day living and survival in a way that doesn't assist the New World Order takeover game. If you're young enough, you should be involved in anti-New World Order candidate. I was involved in this when I was younger. I had the time. I had the energy. And there's a lot of young people who have the capability to do this. This is what you ought to be doing. They might not have a website with a lot of traffic and contributing that way, but they can organize to get anti-young man.
Yeah, Ken, you're breaking up again. I don't know. There's some adjustment you can make. It's dropping out, coming back, dropping out. A few words here, a few words there. And I'm not getting the gist of what you're saying there.
Okay.
While you're making an adjustment, you think you have to do, I was just forwarded an article, Students Riot in London Over Tuition Fee Rises.
Okay.
And this was an article that came out about 2 weeks ago. Now, this is being described to me as outright down and dirty, good old-fashioned kind of rioting. They're going after police vans, police cars, police substations. And there's a comment here that the folks that caused the Rodney King riots could probably take a few lessons in effective rioting. Now, none of this news is getting to the mainstream here. This has been going on for several weeks, evidently. I'm not condoning the violence either, as, you know, I know you would never do that. It's almost as if they pushed and pushed and pushed so they could get film of all this, because they've got over 4,500 cameras around London on the public. There's pretty much not any place you can go without being spied upon by the government over there. What do you think of that?
Well, you're right. I mean, I've made note of that, that the use of cameras, et cetera, was more heavy-handed in the UK and earlier than in this country. And they sort of been leading the British government has been leading the pack, if you will, on New World Order control of its citizens. I mean, I really feel great sympathy with British people because they're suffering much greater impositions of the police state than we are. And I mean, we screws tightened on us, but you know, British have always had a very hard time of it. It's not a large country compared to the U.S. And, you know, those people there are fully aware of the tyranny. They tend to, as a group, what shall I say, not fully recognize the role of the Illuminati and the royalty there. Some do, some don't. However, they are seeing that it's something that if you passively acquiesce to it, it will get worse. And I think there is a game going on here, perhaps creating so much. They are trying to intentionally provoke violent rioting. That plays into their hands. We have to remember that. They, the Illuminati, they're, one of their major Latin expressions is that they put, I don't know, is it on the dollar? I can't remember, but it's order out of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
They want to create chaos. This way they can impose their idea of order upon the players. And that's why I'm making the point, you can't passively accept this. You must resist, but in a way that doesn't invite a brutal response from them, which could lead up to martial law.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to play this game very carefully, because they of course would want a pretext for martial law. Then they could start using those FEMA camps. And then they could start getting rid of thinkers and writers who are opposing the New World Order. They're not going to be polite about it. If they declare martial law, they're just going to pick you up at 4 or 5 in the morning and put you on one of these trains and off to a FEMA camp. And you're not going to be heard from again. That's how they've always done it. In past eras in which, you know, when Stalin took over,
Okay, Lenin, Ken, you're breaking up again. I think you were saying when Stalin took over.
Yeah, this is the same. They follow the same procedures. They pick up people who would be the greatest threat to their continued existence. This would be the writers, the intellectuals, the, let's say, organized political opposition, think and write an expressed opinion that could sway the, you know, the thoughts of the populace is going to get picked up and usually murdered. This is what happened when Castro took over Cuba. I mean, he got even with a lot of Batista people, but he also did a number on those who could, let's say, write and, you know, oppose his ideas about going communist. So you can push a law. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to disappear real quick.
Yeah, I'm getting some articles forwarded to me via one of our Wind Talkers stations, actually it's multiple stations in the UK, and they're saying on Mail Online that there's a headline, Rage of the Girl Rioters, Britain students take to the streets again, and this time women are leading the charge. And they're saying there's some 25,000. Of course, all the photographs are up close. You see a bunch of people, but you in no way can see the size of the people. I don't know if we have to trust 25,000. I venture to guess it's much more from other reports that we're hearing on the ground over there. Certainly, they're spraying some of the government buildings with graffiti. They're breaking windows. Somebody gets pushed to that point, and it starts to look very orchestrated. Now they're blaming all this on the internet, that these walkouts and marches and protests are all being orchestrated at universities, and they're using the internet to communicate this. There shouldn't be anything wrong with that, actually, talking to each other. People do it on telephones all the time. After all, they make the phones, not us. They make the computers. They put up the internet, not us. And they want to attack it now. We're just making use of it. At least some of us realize this is the way to get the information out. I find that the status quo, things as usual, business as usual, with the mainstream media in this country not reporting any of this. They don't want to give people ideas yet, you see, because they're not ready for the riots yet. They have to pull a few more false flag events. And don't you find it interesting that they've singled out young children and very elderly senior citizens to target some of the things that you're hearing about people in wheelchairs, their prosthesis being removed and forced.
Oh, you're talking about the TSA abuse, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, to me that's a false flag event intended to get get people riled up because they can't raise the university fees any higher, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just agreeing with you, Don.
Yeah, this is.
Go ahead. No, I think you know you're thinking the same way I'm thinking. It's a part of a plan to provoke, in order to, as I said earlier, to substitute quote a solution, and this is typical. This is typical behavior for them. So getting back to the English events, though, I did see a few articles a couple days ago on rents. I'm going to focus more now because I didn't realize until I just heard you talk about it. It's more prevalent than I had. I was under the impression of. I'm going to have to examine myself just so that.
Okay, again,
of course,
your audio is cutting in and out.
Yeah, and usually in a case like this, I think we can plan on government assigned agent provocateurs to be the ones who are involved in destructive conduct. There's a long history of that in this country of using provocateur agents who will do things, either attack the police or destroy properties from the police. And then, of course, the abuse, particularly upon innocent people, trampling or beatings or shootings, etc., outrages protesters who are witness to this, and then that escalates into greater violence and desire for revenge against, you know, police, thugs, and all that. So we should at least remember that that's a typical role in escalation, using provocateurs.
Well, yeah, they're actually using their agencies as provocateurs, too. Again, you know, we can use the TSA as an example. Some of the news agencies, if you want to call them that, are doing the same thing, putting out these stories that have contradictions left and right. We can talk about this missile crisis for a moment.
Yeah.
And the fact that if you look at the video they're showing, I mean, when have you gone out and the whole sky at night and the whole sky is orange?
Yes.
It usually doesn't work that way. And they're showing us images taken from an aircraft that they say wasn't in the air.
Yes.
You know, and the ever-changing story. The only thing they haven't said that came out of the ocean yet is swamp gas and crash dummies. And I think
the quantity of conflicting stories is quite amazing. From the Pentagon, and then you have resident disinformation hacks like Michio Kaku, who apparently they needed, and if you know, he sort of took over the role of what's the name of that anointed scientist? It doesn't come to my mind.
The anointed
stars.
Al Gore.
Yes, I mean, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about media anointed Mr. Science knows everything about outer space and so forth. He passed away a few years ago, but he was the
Carl Sagan.
Thank you. Carl Sagan was a resident guy that the media always turned to. Yeah, when they wanted to, you know, get a piece of anointed disinformation out there. They would have Carl say X, Y, and Z. And I've noticed since Carl's passing that Michio Kaku tends to play that role.
Mm-hmm.
His normal role is kind of like science guru type guy. And he does specials, I suppose, on television and probably the Discovery Channel all the time and PBS, and he has that type of life. And but when they need him to trot him out to buttress some cover story they want, I find that he's the guy. So if they want to rebut, you know, chemtrails, he's the guy to come out to tell us that there are contrails and there's so much more air traffic. We're seeing more contrails because of these weather patterns are different now. Yeah.
Oh, and they're also saying they're telling some of the meteorologists and anchors on news networks around the country that the reason for the chemtrail spraying is number one because of global warming. Okay, they use that blanket statement, and they're telling some of them that it's to confound radar. Now, I thought the purpose of radar was to be unconfounded, to know what's going on in the sky. But now they're...
Yes.
I mean, it's a ridiculous, pathetic...
It is ridiculous, and it just makes me wonder how it is it that they, think so little of the intelligence of the American public's ability to decipher gibberish from, you know, from logical statements or reasonable statements, I should say, that they would put this stuff out there. It is remarkable the gibberish they put out. As you say, they're in an attempt to concoct, if you will, a cover story to justify chemtrails. They now of chemtrail spring that the contrail ruse is worn too thin. So they came out with, I think this was around 2005, approximately. They came out with this story on the internet that somehow they were doing this in the interest of radar confusion for practice for the military somehow, you know, so that they could essentially make out of the entire sky kind of a radar screen.
How many years have they been using radar that they would just be experimenting
exactly.
It's
so remarkable. And now, in the last year or two, I suppose, since Gore came out with his nonsense about global warming, that somehow this spraying operation is done in the interest of curbing global warming, that somehow by obscuring the intensity of the sun's rays by spraying this stuff, which they're not officially admitting to. This is just we can't officially say that we're doing this, but what's really warming, we're trying to cool down the planet by spraying all this junk in the atmosphere to reflect the sun's energy off the atmosphere. I mean, it just kills me how asinine, how moronic, how illogical, how unfounded, how unscientific these explanations are, and yet they run them as if, yeah, we're going to buy it. It's
and you know, they're telling the pilots that the reason for this spraying is because the now this came from some pilots who are alleging this is what they were told.
This is
the big secret about why they're spraying chemtrails, in that they've determined, because of the many years of high altitude jet flying, that the jet exhaust fumes are basically eating the ozone layer away, and they're trying to repair it. It seems like you would do that up there near the ozone layer, not on the ground where red blood cells, white blood cells, human, of course,
yes,
and at least three major strains of bacteria are being added to the juice that they're spraying, okay?
Yep.
What does that have to do with global warming? How does that lower the temperature of the Earth?
Right.
Or how does spraying human red blood cells and white blood cells and bacteria, how does that affect the ozone layer? Or how does it affect anything?
Yes. you won't have the opportunity in a widely read forum to express those questions, because, you know, wherever they're presenting this disinformation you're alluding to, there is no opportunity to publicly rebut these people. I mean, if it was possible to have a forum where the people who are presenting this stuff had to yield to questions from the audience, in which, you know, the fallacies of their statements could be contested, then, you know, they would have much less credibility. But no opportunity is available to us. The only place you can express an idea like this is on a blog, for instance, or on a website similar to mine, at least, that in which the
radio show.
Well, exactly. I mean, but yeah. I'm just saying is that the relatively smaller number of people who hear these words compared to the much larger numbers of people who listen to the daily propaganda drone from first AM talk radio and to FM talk radio. It's a day in, day out brainwash.
Okay, Ken, you're breaking up again.
Brushing up.
Yeah. Day-to-day brainwashing.
Continuous. There's only two FM talk stations that I talk from here, and they're both propaganda outlets. One is NPR. I've mentioned that many times in the past. I listen to it. I want to hear what they're reporting, but the propaganda is outrageous.
That's all it is propaganda.
Exactly. And KPFK is one of the five Pacifica stations here in the United States. It's dominated by people of a leftist, you know, mentality, which is okay. I don't hold that against them, other than the fact that the sort of leftist ideas they embrace are often exactly what the Illuminati wishes them to embrace. And global warming is one of those Illuminati concocted hoaxes in order to create this cap and trade scam, which we, the ordinary taxpayer, the ordinary citizen of this country, will pay through the nose for, so that the elites can become even more filthy rich beyond the, you know, incredible amount of wealth they already have flowing to them from us, you know, the poorer working classes. And when I hear Amy Goodman, for instance, and who has a lot of interesting shows, who brings out a lot of truth in a lot of areas, stories which I would not otherwise hear on AM radio, that's for sure. So I'm grateful to get the good stories from Amy Water for the Illuminati by not amplifying or bringing up or discussing the fact that 9/11 was an inside job. 9 years now, she's been, since 9/11, she's been on the air, and she's alluded to it in one or two shows in passing, but she's never had a series of guests explaining what the facts are that establishes 9/11 was an inside job. She just won't own up to that. She's making millions of dollars a year as a salary. Her career is continuing to grow. 43 million dollar range that Rush Limbaugh is at. He's a propagandist for the right. He says a lot of things that I agree with, that I find to be true, but he also says a lot of things that are untrue, particularly when it comes to defending George Bush and all those guys on AM talk radio that tend to defend the neocons.
Yeah, the average listener to AM, mainstream AM and FM radio is totally unaware of who owns the station.
Absolutely.
They tune into a radio program, and they're in their own little world. It's all designed to capture certain aspects of their attention, to get, you know, focused on things. They use all kinds of swishy sound effects. You know, it's not music. It's, you know, the sound of a jet flying across.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, you're absolutely right. There are two
explosions and things like
right.
that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you know, in earlier times, it'd be like a teletype clicking in the background. That type of to create tension, to put you on edge. So as they're presenting the news or whatever their program is, it's all cutting edge. You know, it's on edge. We're just getting this over the wire now. It's all they, you know, they want to create that tension. People are being manipulated like you're rats in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's infuriating. It really annoys me to no end, because you have a lot of people who take their view of reality from what they're hearing on these shows.
Mm-hmm. And the message is filtered across. I didn't hear.
Yeah, well, you're hitting along the same lines where I was going.
Yeah, they tailor the message that they want to get out, and yeah. all the stations. You see, the average person isn't listening to station A, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. They're listening to MNOP, for example,
yeah,
and or one of those, depending on their area. And if they travel around, you start to notice the same pattern. If you go across the country by car, for example, and tune into the AM radio stations and listen to what they're talking about on these talk shows, the propaganda talk shows are syndicated in all these networks.
Yeah.
So you're going to get the same message in each place.
Absolutely right.
You know, the local talk show ends up being just a reflection of all that propaganda and that programming that happens. And the people don't even realize that they're not hearing the truth. They're hearing the same spin that TV has been putting out. You brought up 9/11. Ever since 9/11, it's the same spin over and over. Anyone that disagrees is a nutcase, is a wacko. But I remind everybody that we saw the President of the United States holding a third-grade book upside down.
Yes.
You know, who's the nutcase?
Oh, yes. I did an article a month or two ago in which I was referring to Clear Channel, who the owners were.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a gal write me, and she said, you know, I did some digging on this area myself, and she found that the owner behind the guy who's put up as the CEO is the owner. You know, most AM radio stations that we hear are Clear Channel owned stations. And she pointed out that it was actually Mitt Romney, the guy who at one point had run for presidential primaries, or I guess he's the son of George Romney, what is in fact the majority holder. His company owns Clear Channel, so it's ultimately Mitt Romney.
Now, is that a Mormon company then?
Yeah, Mormon type. I don't know if, but he's from that Mormon, you know, background group. And so, you know, when you're hearing AM talk radio shows put down anyone who talks about 9/11 as inside job, they keep on hammering the Arabs did it. We had these terrorist attacks cost 3,000 lives in 9/11. You're hearing an Illuminatus, Mitt Romney's play, simply being echoed by his paid mouthpieces. If the AM talk show host did not embrace those propaganda talking points, they wouldn't keep the job. They would fire them and put someone else who did. So your Larry Elders, I'm thinking of ABC now, your Larry Elders, your Sean, what's his name?
Kennedy.
Kennedy, thank you.
Juan Williams.
Juan Williams.
William Crystal.
Thank you. So, you know, you're hearing the Arabs did it from this segment who's, let's say, assigned the job of pounding that propaganda home. And, you know, it's not true.
Now, 9/11. Yes, we're told we have to be safe and secure from these terrorists.
Yep.
And yet you have TSA agents fondling infants.
Yes.
And elderly. Now, yep. Who are the terrorists? Who are the terrorists? Do you tell me how a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old child is a terrorist? Name one time that an American strapped a bomb on a child.
Yes.
Going
Thank
to an
you.
Airport.
Yes. There is no instance of any quality to the profile of the people who are being abused at airports. There was no 19 Arab hijackers, of course. The planes, if they truly were planes, that went into the World Trade Center did not have those so-called Arabs passengers, et cetera. They simply weren't there. They were computer-controlled.
They were setting up the missile that we saw.
Yeah, well, certainly the Pentagon was hit by a missile. There's no question about that.
No, I mean this missile that they just spotted in California.
Oh, the one that they just spotted.
They were busy getting ready to launch that.
California, yeah. No, I think I sort of alluded briefly to the Kennedy assassination. 47 years later, they're still obstructing the facts. It's much clearer now who did what to who, but in the piece that I put up a while ago, I didn't originate the idea, but I amplified the idea that what Bill Cooper had talked about in the late 90s, that it was very clear from the Zapruder film, if you know how to look at it carefully. The driver, William Greer, the Secret Service agent, was the guy who shot Kennedy at point-blank range with a special gun supplied to him by the CIA, which caused Kennedy's head to explode in Zapruder film, frame 313. And just two nights ago, I was listening to Coast to Coast, and they had, with George Norrie, they had four guests. All time were very good. I was hearing what I felt was fairly good information. An ex-FBI guy named Don Adams was saying things that, you know, I've known since the mid-1990s about the Kennedy assassination, but it was good to hear an ex-FBI man say them. However, though, he did have a couple of guests who continue to obfuscate information that I think is important. And one is, it came up in passing, one of the guests says, or I think George Norrie says, well, you've heard the accusation is that it was the driver, and he says, and the guy responds, oh, yeah. He says, yeah, we can't pay much attention to that. And he goes on to to diss the whole idea.
Yeah, I heard that interview too. Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either offhand. But the point is, he did scoff at it and laugh at it. But the piece that I put up in 2007, and it's I recently alluded to it because I did a piece in March, calling Jim Mars a gatekeeper. Because he was trying to put down Bill Cooper's clear and well
documented
documented evidence that it was the driver Greer, because you can see it under the Spruder film. If you look at it, you just have to watch him very carefully, and you could see him do it. And yet they continue to scoff at it. So it's necessary to call out gatekeepers. I think it's wonderful that Jim Mars is. Apparently done a lot of good books and helped. But if he's controlled opposition, then he's working for them. If he's still trying to conceal the fact that the Secret Service was part of the group, along with the CIA, who plotted Kennedy's assassination. That's the Praetorian Guard. And if his job is to keep a lid on that, then he's working for the other side. And we, the people, have to know who's deceiving us, who's leading us astray. I find there's continued deception about the three tramps. When I looked into it a few months ago on the internet, they're trying, and one of the guests, Ed Haslam, who had a lot of wonderful things to say. He seems like a very remarkable guy. Wrote a good book, Dr. Mary's Monkey, that I ordered. I plan to read it. I found his info to be, I thought, honest. He comes across as an honest guy. But he's convinced of certain things, which perhaps I'm thinking he was influenced by Jim Mars, because Jim Mars will do with the identity of those three tramps. There's
you're breaking up again.
There's a lot of people offered as the identity, but Ed Haslam was saying that he refers to Chauncey Howe as being the older of the three tramps. I am certain beyond any doubt that the oldest person of the three tramps was E. Howard Hunt, because it looks like E. Howard Hunt. And I've taken photos of the three tramps, cropped out the face, enlarged them, and compared them to many photos of E. Howard Hunt. It's E. Howard Hunt. And yet there are, of course, websites that say that, but there's many more websites and debunkers who get on Coast to Coast Radio, including Jim Mars, who say that, no, that's not. It's just, they're either saying it's Chauncey Howe. There's got a few candidates, but Chauncey Howe seems to be the principal candidate. The tallest of the three tramps has been called as the father of Woody Harrelson. That's not the father of Woody Harrelson. There's another guy, Charles Rogers. He said to be Charles Rogers. It's not him at all. It's a guy who worked for the CIA, who worked for the military as a trained special forces type person. And he worked for the CIA. He was part of the Cuba, training for reinvasion of Cuba, with the Cuba Bay and all that. His name is Gerald Patrick Hemming. He's the tall one. If you look at pictures of the three tramps, there's the one who's usually in the middle as they're photographed. He's certainly the tallest. That man is Gerald Patrick Hemming. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I've compared many photographs, etc., and there's no question about it in my mind. The third guy looks like Frank Sturgis. It could be Frank Sturgis, but I'm not convinced at this point. I've got to work more. But the two that I feel confident about are E. Howard Hunt, CIA, Gerald Patrick Hemming, CIA. And even on Coast to Coast, during their show, most of the guests agreed the Kennedy assassination was a CIA hit first and foremost. They used elements of the mafia for sure. But Alan Dulles,
I didn't hear what you said before, Alan Dulles. You were breaking up again.
I said that the CIA has to be called the principal culprit, responsible for the pull off of the Kennedy assassination. The planning and execution of the Kennedy assassination was certainly coordinated and led, let's say, by the CIA. So you have two people who are known to work for the CIA, E. Howard Hunt. And two of the three tramps, there's no doubt in my mind that those two guys are two of the three tramps. And yet we have active people who want to try to convince us it's others. It's Chauncey Howe. It's the father of Woody Harrelson, et cetera.
Yeah, I'd like to see George H.W. Bush taken to task over his statements that he doesn't recall where he was.
Yeah.
With his picture right in front of the Texas Book Depository.
Yeah.
On that day.
Yeah. And the one guy who did not participate in the assassination is hung with the blame of the crime. Lee Harvey Oswald was a spy. He was an intelligence operative working for and with military intelligence for and with the CIA. And he was set up to be a patsy. He wanted to protect JFK's life, as did the girl who he was lovers with for 4 or 5 months, this Judith Baker gal that we just talked about, because she was on Coast to Coast a few nights ago. And it's always been clear that Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy, but look at those who even today try to convince us that he was the lone shooter. Vincent Bugliosi, 2007, comes out with a 1,600-plus page book that essentially says what another disinformationist, Gerald Posner, said Oswald was a lone assassin. Who believes that? Why are these men not, booed off every stage they walk onto? I don't understand how disinformation can live so long and those who carry it lead such, comfortable lives. I just don't understand it. I don't understand how the public can be so easily deceived.
Well, regarding... Regarding the date of the Kennedy assassination and all this talk about 2012, actually 2012 is the last year of the 50 years that those records stay sealed.
Oh, very good, Don.
If you think about that.
Very good, Don. Right you are.
You see, they got to try to pull something off before 2013 comes around. 50-year anniversary.
Yeah, even with release records, you can be sure what is released is going to be sanitized.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Vacuumed of Don Adams, the ex-FBI guy. He's got to be in his mid-80s. He was interviewed, one of the guests on Coast to Coast on November 22.
There was a lot of symbology in the aftermath of the assassination. The attempt to mirror exactly what happened, only have the opposites or have mystical names involved in it. J.D. Tippit being one.
Yeah.
The police officer that was shot, they say, in the theater. The J.D. stands for Jefferson Davis, who was the first president of the Confederacy.
Confederacy.
Isn't that interesting? And they
it is.
Off in Dallas, Texas. I mean, the symbolism is all there, you see?
Yes.
The Illuminati symbolism.
Yes. So, and again, if you remember, the just to remind the audience, the J.D. Tippett, who was also murdered by the same people who were shooting at Kennedy, his murder was also blamed on Lee Harvey Oswald.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case at all. I've read, I haven't seen pictures. I don't know what, I haven't seen pictures of J.D. Tippett. I don't know if they are easily available, but I've read that he was a dead ringer lookalike for JFK, and that it's possible in the, let's say, fixed up corpse that was returned to the Kennedys, it's possible they used his body as a cover, or perhaps reconstructed. To say that, you know, JFK's head, et cetera, there was a great deal of reconstruction done so that the photographs taken did not reveal the fact that he had this huge portion of the right front section of his skull blown out when William Greer's exploding pellet bullet entered there, and since the pellet exploded, blew out, you know, a large portion of both the front and the rear portion of the right side of his head. And they had to conceal all that. So of course, the brain itself was removed because obviously the exploding material from the pellet that Greer had shot would you know, have been recovered from the brain tissue. So therefore, we have a brain that was removed. No intelligent accounting for who removed it and where is the brain. These questions just never get asked because who's running the Warren Commission? It's people like Arlen Specter, another Illuminatus, traitor, doing his work, you know, in assisting in the destruction of this country and its people. And why does this guy get to walk around without being booed wherever he goes? You know, I just don't understand why more people haven't come up to speed concerning the parties responsible for JFK's assassination. I mean, who in their right mind?
Well, because the history was fictitious, you know, the accounts, the historical accounts.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so much evidence of who did the, you know, the obfuscation and who helped direct the, you know, we should be condemning Earl Warren. I mean, if the commission's got his name after and it's just a huge bucket of lies, he should be part. Everyone involved in that commission should be condemned in history books, should be condemned on the lips of every American citizen as being traitors who were deceiving us. Along with all the innocent people, the witnesses who were killed to shut them up. We mentioned the book by Ed Haslam. It's the story of Dr. Mary Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me a couple of days ago the condition they found her body. Did you want to expand on that a little?
She was missing an arm. Her arm had been burned off. Her part of her rib cage on that same side of the body was scorched and severely damaged or missing. And her death, she was found in her apartment in New Orleans. Someone had put her there in the bed and started a fire in the bed, and it was a sort of like a smoldering mattress kind of fire. Mm-hmm. And her head and her face were untouched by the flames, but she's missing an arm. Mm-hmm. And she had stab wounds in her heart, in her liver, and other organs in her body. And it was determined that she was murdered, that the stab wound to the heart was the ultimate cause of her death, and that the stab to the liver, which didn't hemorrhage, took place after she was dead, and some of the other organs. So it was later learned that her arm had been burned off by a particle beam weapon, or let's say a particle beam. What these particulars involving that were, I don't know, but certainly that should put up a big red flag.
Yeah.
It's a very strange way for somebody, you know, who's...
No, what I'm alluding to is that, and what you're bringing out here is, who has access to weaponry like that, you know?
Well, the government, yeah. And
yeah, exactly. That's the point. And while she wasn't... quote, a witness involved in the witnessing of the JFK, she was involved over operation that had to do with developing cancer monkey viruses, and she was involved with David Ferry, who of course was a big player with involved in this, particularly with Lee Harvey Oswald, and that's how this gal Judith Baker was involved. She too was involved in this laboratory that was in the apartment of David Ferry in New Orleans in this early period of the early in the 60s there. They were developing these cancers. So she was privy to people. She knew things that the chance.
Okay, Ken, you're breaking up again.
She was apparently murdered because she knew things that they didn't want her to reveal, that maybe they feared that she would reveal something.
This was still revealed anyway, you see. And again, we don't have a murder investigation for her either, you see.
Exactly.
It's so obvious who is behind it.
But so many witnesses, you know, who saw things and gave testimony that conflicted with the Warren Commission, they got themselves suicided or killed in some way, and it's just outrageous. It's just outrageous how badly the public is abused by these individuals. They're spiritually evolved, meaning the show, just driven by the desire and lust for power, money, and control over others. And we need to stop allowing these individuals to have their way with the destiny of our lives. And the only way you can do that is you, on a personal level, must not do anything that in any way individuals or the agency and or the structures that they use to get funding from, et cetera. They need to be criticized in public. They need to be outed in public. And the hordes of politicians who are sellouts need to be driven from office and replaced by loyal Americans who stand up and say, I recognize there's a new world order, take over the country. I recognize 9/11 is an inside job. I recognize chemtrails as a poisoning operation. I recognize that the wars in Iraq of those countries.
Yeah, Ken, you're breaking up again. Listen,
we're in pre-package.
Yeah, Ken, you're still breaking up. We're coming to the end of the show here. I do want to sort of brush away all this negative energy that we've dealt with here, because it's very dark stuff. And, you know, I'm not being critical of our topic. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
I want to leave the listening audience with the warmth and the spirit of a 7-year-old girl from Carrollton, Texas, Rayma Marvan, and her rendition of the prayer. Let's have a listen to this, Ken, before we sign off.
Yes. Great.
Ken, I'm sure you'll agree that we should be thankful we have an angel like 7-year-old Rhema Marvan from Carrollton, Texas, to bless us on Thanksgiving. And it underscores the importance of revealing the truth to the young people, to the teenagers, to the middle-aged folks, even to the elderly. People have to wake up and understand what's been going on and what is occurring now, because it has everything to do with the state of the world today. 30 seconds before we have to say goodnight. Ken, you with us?
Yes, I just put off the button. I'm sorry. Gorgeous voice. Beautiful to close out the show. Such a young girl who can have that much range. Beautiful, very, very mature vocal cords there for her age. Wonderful. Loved it.
Well, do you want to share a Thanksgiving message for the audience?
Well, yeah. Yes, so let's be thankful. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and we still have a country of people who are dedicated to the idea of peace and freedom and goodwill among all peoples of the world. We still believe that, regardless of the negative forces that might have infiltrated our government agencies.
we still believe in the good things, even the right things. And ultimately, I feel in the end, it is the goodness that resides in the hearts of men that will win the day here.
All right, well said. Well, Ken, I want to wish you and Mrs. A wonderful Thanksgiving, and I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Don, and the same to you, of course.
Okay, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's guest, Ken Adachi. I encourage you to visit his website, educate-yourself.org. And I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show. Our prayers go out to those in New Zealand. Over at BBS Radio, I want to thank Doug Newsom on the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience. Join me tomorrow night, Thanksgiving night, when my special guest will be a stand-in for my regular guest, Drew Malone Raines III. Mr. Michael Anthony will be with us. In the meantime, I wish you a very happy and safe Thanksgiving and a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.